From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Great to see you. Thank you so much. Great show for you today. We got comedian Bill Maher coming to join us and play Not My Job. Meanwhile, do you guys, any of you guys follow President Obama on Twitter? This week he made history. He used it to announce the end of the Iraq War. That's true. What began with shock and awe ended with a tweet. And really, who would have thought that such a historic moment would come between an update about the chicken wrap he ate for lunch and his shout out to last night's toddlers and tiaras? It was amazing. We'll keep you entertained until the president updates again, so give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello there. This is Dave Morrill in Keene, New Hampshire.
Hey, how are things in Keene?
Just peachy.
I bet. Now, you guys, you're in New Hampshire, so peachy Keene. Oh, yeah. Took me a second. I'm from New Jersey. We're slow. Dave, welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, one of the founders of the Axis of Evil comedy tour, a comedian who will be performing at the San Jose Improv December 29th through the 31st. I'm talking about Maz Jobrani. He's
here.
How are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Next, a comedian who will be performing at the San Francisco Sketch Fest January 20th and 21st. It's Jessie Klein. We welcome her back.
Hello.
And another comedian. She'll be performing in Charlotte, North Carolina on January 21st at the Knight Theater. It's Paula Poundstone. Well, welcome to the show, Dave. You're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle, of course, is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you will win our prize. Carl's voice on your voicemail. Ready to go?
Ready to go.
Here is your first quote.
Rick, I'll tell you what. $10,000? $10,000 bet?
That was somebody casually offering to bet about a quarter of the average American annual income in a debate last Saturday night. Who was it?
These guys are really making your job a lot easier for you, aren't they?
I hope they never stop.
that was Mitt Romney.
It was Mitt Romney. Very good, yes. So on Saturday in the debate, Mitt got in an argument with Rick Perry. And he offered to bet 10 grand that Perry was wrong. And everybody was like, oh, man, he's so rich and out of touch. So Romney made up for the gaffe by addressing the 7 million people who watched that debate and offering them each 10 grand to forget all about it. And you know that it happened like this. Mitt's there on stage, and the moment comes up, and Mitt says to himself, well, I could bet him $1 million. But what would the common man bet? 10,000. That's what one of those lattes at Starbucks costs, right?
You know, the thing is, I feel like even when Romney loses a bet, he never has to pay because no one has changed for a $100,000 bill.
That's true.
Just all he carries.
That was not even the worst thing that happened to the Romney campaign this week. Newt Gingrich continued to pummel him in national polls, despite the fact that an investigative report in the Wall Street Journal revealed that he is, in fact, that Newt Gingrich.
It is kind of following the format of like a classic horror movie where like I think we all thought he was gone.
You
and then at the last minute it's like, oh my God, he's back! Terrifying.
And then this is my favorite story from Mitt Romney's worst week ever. Mitt goes into a New Hampshire diner and he sees these two crusty old guys with veterans caps on. Right? It's like, oh man, it's like, oh, this is great. This is my people. And he sits down with the cameras running. And one of the guys says, well, where do you stand on gay marriage? And Mitt says to himself, softball! And he's like, oh, of course I'm against it. And the guy says, well, my husband and I here disagree. And this happened. And poor Mitt, he doesn't know what to do. He's like, that can't be your husband. He's a man. And so are you.
You should have just given him $10,000.
I know. Dave, here is your next quote.
I know what I don't want.
That was somebody quoted in Time magazine. She and a lot of other people are collectively Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Who is it?
The Protester.
Yes, The Protester. It was an amazing year for protest. It all began with the Arab Spring, which until the protests in the Middle East this year was simply the world's worst-selling brand of soap. And then all over the world, people stood up for what they believed in, be it the end of autocratic oppression in the Middle East or to rail against People magazine for not naming Ryan Gosling the sexiest man alive. Here in America, the Occupy protesters became a nationwide phenomenon. They spread from New York. There's an Occupy Miami, Occupy Denver, Occupy Los Angeles, Occupy Oakland. It's just like the Hard Rock Cafe, except the guys cooking tofu over flaming ash cans in the park, they have better food.
Did you get a bad meal at the Hard Rock Cafe? Jeez, you don't just walk it off, man.
No, I carry a grudge.
You should protest.
I should.
Yeah.
And then I'd be Time Magazine's Man of the Year. It's like, all you need to do. All right, we have one more quote for you. Here it is.
Okay.
Honestly, I've been far more distracted by skirmishes between the kids in the back seat. Are we going to ban them, too?
That was one of the many Americans. This one was quoted on MichiganLive.com, reacting to the proposed national ban on what?
Cell phones in the car.
Exactly. Cell phones while driving. Very good. The National Transportation Safety Board, they looked over a decade's worth of accident data. They calmly tied their panties into bunches and said, we all have to stop using our phones when we're driving, all of us, for anything right now. And that means you, Bluetooth headset guy. Well, especially you, because frankly, you look like an ass.
You know, do they ever calculate how many mailboxes have been driven into?
I don't know if they count mailboxes.
Yeah, because it seems to me that just shows that the regular post is dangerous as well. They're there, and they can easily be crashed into.
I see your point.
Edge of people's yards a lot of times, whereas you could easily go up on the yard and not do any harm at all. But with that mailbox there...
Are you guys prepared to give up using your phone while you're driving? Because you guys are both live in L.A., right?
I stopped driving while talking on the phone even before they made it a law.
Well, it's not a law, as you may or may not know. This is just a recommendation from the...
But it's in California. You
hands
can't
free.
Talk.
Yeah,
hands free.
Yeah, hands free. And I've been driving hands free.
So you stopped. You decided...
I stopped, yeah. I stopped using my hands at all in the car. I was assuming that was the law.
Right.
Your car has Siri, right? The iPhone, you just go forward.
You just get in and shout at the car.
Turn right.
No, you know what my car has that is the worst feature I've ever had in a car? Is this damn thing where you put the key in.
Oh, you don't put the key in.
That's very weird.
You have to have the keys with you, and then you push a button to start the car.
Right. Yeah.
And
it's a radio thing.
But so you don't take the keys out.
No.
Tell you something. You look for my car, and it's running. It is so frustrating. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten back to the car. I mean, oh, geez, I left it running again. You have no way of knowing that the car is running. And you get out. It's not until I see it driving away that I realize.
Carl, how did Dave do in our quiz?
Well, you can't do better, Peter. Dave had 3 correct answers. Dave, you win our prize.
Well done. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks so much, guys. You just made my year.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Maz, this week the New York Post revealed Yankee star Derek Jeter has a strategy for politely ridding himself of women he spends the night with. He always makes sure to give them what?
$10,000 on the way out?
No, although it does have monetary value, it turns out.
Oh.
I'll give it. It's great, you know. You have a night of passion with Derek Jeter, and you end up with something you can sell on eBay.
A baseball card of his? No, a ball, a base signed
right.
baseball.
He gives each of his dates apparently the next day a gift basket of signed sports memorabilia. So let's say you're an attractive young woman, and you meet the Yankee legend in a club or maybe in a restaurant, or he happens to be seated next to the pole you're spinning on. And it could happen. And you feel this deep human connection, and you accept his invitation to come back to his apartment and see his stats. And when the evening is over, he'll have a car and driver waiting to take you anywhere you want to go, and in the back seat, a basket of signed Derek Jeter sports memorabilia.
What if some woman was like, could you make this out to my dad?
Oh, God. Or, he's really the sports fan of the family.
And then the dad has to be like, how'd you get this?
Or better yet, can you make it out to my husband?
Oh, yeah. Lord.
I have a feeling that's happened.
Every guy in New York who's gotten like a signed Derek Jeter baseball from his girlfriend is going like, wait a minute. Thank you so much. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Lorraine Hoffhines from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Oh, Fort Lauderdale, great place down there in South Florida. What do you do there?
I work at Vantage Motorworks, yeah, which is world famous for sales and restorations of Rolls-Royce and Bentleys.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you're selling really expensive cars to really rich people.
Yeah, yes, very.
Can I get your number?
What is it like to work exclusively with a customer base that's rich enough to buy Rolls-Royces? Are they nice?
Yes, I have to say a majority of our people are really nice.
Really? Because I would have guessed that unless you're a complete jerk, they won't sell you a Rolls-Royce. I mean, obviously, you don't deserve it.
No. No, we'll sell them to anybody.
Really? You don't have to be a jerk. All right. Well, welcome to our show, Lorraine. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Lorraine's topic?
Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back. No more, no more, no more, no more.
So, love is hard. Knowing what to do in love is harder. Is the guy you're with Mr. Right, or merely just as right as you're ever going to get? Well, this week we heard about a new way to know for sure. Each of our panelists is going to tell you about a new boyfriend disqualifier. Something we saw in the news this week, and if you see your boyfriend express any enthusiasm for one of these things, dump him immediately. Your job is to pick the true story. You'll win Carl's voice on your home voicemail if you do. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right, first let's hear from Maz Jobrani.
It's the holidays and you're getting ready to send out your Christmas card with a picture of you and your girlfriend. All seems well, except you notice at the last minute that your girl neglected to pluck the hair on her chin for the picture and looks like a fledgling recruit for Al-Qaeda. Do you A, call her into the room and point out her scruffy jawline? B, ignore the hairy protrusion and send out the card? Or C, go to Santini's Photo Store in Manhattan, where they're offering 50% off on photoshopping your girlfriend? That's right. Gino Santini, owner of the store, says the idea came to him last year when he was sending out his own Christmas card. I look at the photo and notice my girlfriend had put on some weight. I call her into the room and tell her, hey, look here, you look fat. We're not dating anymore. After that debacle, Santini felt it was his duty to help other men not go down the path he had. This is the perfect gift to give to your lady. That way you can say, honey, you eat whatever you like. I'm going to fix it in post.
Photoshopping your girlfriend to make her more attractive. Service you can get in New York. Your next story of a lame boyfriend detector comes from Jesse Klein.
There's a reason that they're called your privates. Women especially have never been fond of a man who likes to kiss and tell. Now we have to worry about men who kiss and tweet, as there is a new iPhone app called I Just Made Love. Available for download on iTunes, this app allows you to immediately tell the world all the details of your latest conquest, even before the person you've conquested has a chance to catch a breath. You can tell the world who you've just been with, what positions were involved, whether it was, quote, indoors or outdoors, and whatever other lascivious details you feel like sharing that no one on the face of this earth wants to hear. Conversely, you can look at the love map to see where other shameless people are doing intensely private things. In short, it's kind of like Foursquare for the beast with two backs. While the app is called I Just Made Love, it seems like the developers will soon have to create a follow-up called I Just Got Dumped.
I Just Made Love, an app for immediately bragging about your sexual conquests. And your last story of a relationship warning sign comes from Paula Poundstone.
This newest piece of tech magic sounds good to me headphones. Take noise-canceling headphones one discriminatory step further. They can now be set to cancel out the frequencies of the female voice. Surely many a guy has conceived of such an item without having the technology skills to make his dream come true. In this case, however, perhaps the technology nerd who made it a reality didn't have enough experience in the field to be aware of the pitfalls. The problem, says dismayed consumer Cameron Barrett, I found while watching a football game is that when I heard my girlfriend in the kitchen and yelled in for her to get me a beer, she realized that I could hear, I just couldn't hear her. Then when she saw the features listed on the box they came in, she found another way for me to avoid the sound of her voice. She left. You'd think they'd come up with a better warning. They bother mentioning not to eat the silicone pouch it's packed with, but they don't even mention that when they're ripped off your head really quickly, it can hurt your ears.
All right. So here are your choices. Let's assume you're a young woman hoping for the best with the guy in your life. Well, you might find that guy either from Maz Jobrani, having your image photoshopped to look better, from a service in New York City, from Jesse Klein bragging about your latest night of passion together using a new iPhone app just for that purpose, or from Paula Poundstone wearing headphones designed to carefully cut out the sound of your voice alone. Which of these is the real story of a bad thing for a boyfriend to do in the news this week?
Wow, they're all good reasons to dump somebody.
That's I would agree.
I'm always wanting to look younger and thinner in pictures, so the Photoshop sounds like a good idea.
Okay, you'd be for that. All right.
But the headphones for your girlfriend's voice, oh, that's just really mean. I'm going to go with the tweeting.
You're going to go with the tweeting, the iPhone app that Jesse described, the I Just Made Love, it's called. That's your choice?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's your choice. We actually were pleased enough to speak to the person responsible for this.
I Just Made Love is available everywhere. We're all have a great fun and make love.
That was Cyprian Chishkevich. He's the creator of the I Just Made Love app, and he will be spending the rest of his life alone. You, however, picked the correct answer. It was, in fact, Jesse Klein. You have won our prize. You'll win Carl's voice in your voicemail. Congratulations.
Thank
well
you.
Done.
Gonna leave you, baby. Crying won't make me stay. Gonna leave you, baby. Crying won't make me stay. The more you cry, father, I'm going away.
And now the game where we ask people to do something they may not like doing, but generally it's over quickly. There are a lot of people who do what we do, make jokes about the news, but only one of whom, who, as far as we know, lost his job over it. Fortunately, Bill Maher got another show, and every Friday on HBO, he says the same sort of things he used to say, but now he can swear. He's got a new book out of his new rules. We're happy to have him with us. Bill Maher, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, I have to tell you, you know, we do this thing, we make fun of the news once a week, but I feel like I'm talking to an original gangster when I talk to you. You've been doing this for like 20 years or so, right?
That's right. I'm the OG.
You are, man. You do it old school style. You started your first version of what we'll call the Bill Maher Show, though it's never had that title, was on Comedy Central, started in the early 90s, right?
That's right, 1993. We started on Comedy Central. We were in New York. We moved in 96 to Los Angeles. We were still on Comedy Central. Then we moved it to ABC. We know what happened there.
Oh, yeah.
I was somehow doing a show called Politically Incorrect for the Walt Disney Company.
Yes, well,
how anybody thought that was going to work, but it actually lasted 6 years somehow.
Wow.
And then when I got canned off there, we moved over to HBO, but I've had the same office in L.A. since 96 through three different networks. Now that's gangsta.
That's crazy. So even before your show, I mean, because I've talked to people who knew you back in the 80s, and like you were always doing political material, right? That was your thing.
Yeah, that was always my thing. My father was a news guy, you know. He was in radio news. And so that was sort of in my DNA. It was something we talked about at the dinner table when I was a kid, which I don't think is normal for America. Yeah, when I was 5 years old, I knew who Khrushchev was.
Really?
Wow. Was he a local news guy?
Khrushchev?
No!
Oh, yeah, I grew up in New Jersey, too. He used to do the 5 o'clock news. He always used to bang his shoe on the desk. It was great.
That's right. That's the guy.
No, because
you're talking about my father.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was New York News. You know,
he worked
for WOR and the Mutual Broadcasting System in New York. This, of course, is the days when every radio station, no matter what the format, had news at the top of the hour, and that was what my father did.
So you've got a new book out of New Rules. This is a segment. You invented this for the HBO show, right?
That's right. We've been doing it for almost 10 years over there, and we put out a book of New Rules in 2005, and we put out another one, and the subtitle, can you read it there? Do you have it there?
Why don't you do it, because I think that you're less
liable. The subtitle is New Rules, the new rules, a funny look at how everybody but me has their head up their ass.
There you are. That's kind of, I have to say, that one of the things I love about the new rules and your whole approach, in fact, in your show, is you're not shy about letting people know how dumb you feel they're being. And I applaud that about you.
Well, you know, if you're going to keep it real in America,
yeah,
at some point you're going to have to say the people are stupid.
Yes.
I mean, it is a stupid country. Not us, of course.
No. Press and company accepted. We've noticed that your new rules, they tend to go from very large political issues to sort of smaller observational issues. You've got one here. You can't get mad at Applebee's for serving a toddler a margarita. That referred to something that happened in the news. Unless you've tried to eat at Applebee's sober. Does everything annoy you, Bill Maher, equally?
Well, you know, we're talking about a comedy bit that, you know, you're taking rules that we did every week, every Friday night for the last 6 years, and you put them together in one compendium. Of course, I'm going to seem like a curmudgeon.
You do a little bit, I got to say, in the book.
But if you spread it out in real life, I'm really a very easygoing young man.
I understand. Do you ever find yourself rooting for a politician to succeed, even if you may disagree with him or her, but you want them to get office because they're such great material?
Well, I mean, it is... you're talking about people like Sarah Palin?
I'm talking about Sarah Palin.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd like to think that I'm a better person than that. I'd like to think that. And, you know, as a loyal American and I think a patriotic American, no, I don't want Sarah Palin to be president. But, yes, does she provide excellent material? Of course she does.
So you often have people on to your show to argue with you and to argue well with you. Are there particular people you love to have on to disagree with?
Yeah, I mean, there are. Usually they wind up in the category of recently retired politician, because when they're in office, of course, they're much more careful. When you get people who are out of office, suddenly their tongues loosen up. And suddenly they say the things that you wish they'd said or did when they were in office. I mean, even somebody like Bill Clinton, who I happen to admire very much, the second he was out of office, I remember he was interviewed in Rolling Stone, and he said he thought we should have legalized marijuana. And I thought, gosh, if only you were in some sort of position to affect change in the last 8 years where you could have done something about that.
Too bad. Yes, what can a guy do?
Hey, Bill, how did you deal with the Arianna Huffington shift?
What do you mean the shift? Her taking over AOL?
No.
Republican?
Yeah, she was a Republican. She became a Democrat.
And it wasn't just a Republican to a Democrat. It was an outspoken visual leadership Republican to an outspoken visual leadership Democrat. What did you do about that?
I know she's a good friend of yours, right?
When I got out of bed.
Yeah?
No.
Oh, you were the reason, sir.
Oh, no.
Nicely done.
Oh, come on, Paula. It was the 90s.
You're on HBO. You can do that.
Bill, this is a talent that I didn't realize you had, and I'm not. I think you are. I think the idea that you bring these topics up that are a dangerous tightrope sometimes to walk as a comedian. You know, if you say the wrong thing, people get so upset, and yet you're trying to think of jokes, and so sometimes you do misspeak or whatever. But I think you're a genius. But if I had known you had the capacity to sleep with someone and change their point of view, I think you're wasting your talent.
Well, Bill Maher, it's a delight to have you with us. We've asked you here to play a game. We're calling...
Hey, Maher, it's time for some old rules.
Lawmakers like to make laws. Some of them are dumb. Some of them stay in the books for a long time. We're going to ask you about three real laws somewhere in the books. If you get two questions right, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who is comedian Bill Maher playing for?
Bill is playing for Jim Anderson of Brooklyn, New York.
Ready to do
this? Good.
Oh, he is great. He's a great guy, and he deserves your best effort.
Anderson.
You ready? Ready to do this?
Yes, I am ready.
First up, until 2010, when the law was repealed, in West Virginia, you could go to jail if you did something to someone. What was it? A, pantsed them. B, made fun of them for not agreeing to a duel. Or C, fed them snake meat without telling them what it was.
I'm going to go with C, the snake meat.
The snake meat? Like, oh, no, that's fine. You'll enjoy that. That's good. Don't ask. And actually, it was made fun of them for not agreeing to a duel. Dueling?
That was my second guess.
I bet. Dueling for many years was legal, but if you were challenged to a duel and you turned it down, nobody could make fun of you under threat of imprisonment. All right.
Let's get to the questions about sodomy.
All right. Next question. This is South Carolina. As far as we know, it is still illegal there to do what to a woman? Don't guess. I will tell you. A, it is illegal to propose marriage to her if you don't actually mean it. B, say damn or eight other listed words within her hearing. Or C, touch her anywhere on the front of her body while dancing.
I really think this is going to be B, say damn, because proposed marriage, if you don't mean it, I mean, you can't start throwing people in jail for that.
Well, I wish you could.
Really? Well, what if, I mean, proposed marriage, I mean, if it was like, you know, I want to marry you, and they said yes, and you're saying, ha, 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 I wouldn't marry you if you were the last woman in South Carolina.
It's happened to me so many times.
Really? So you're turning that one down, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go with say damn.
You're going to go with say damn. I'm sorry, it was in fact proposed marriage.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That was illegal in South Carolina. They didn't. That was ungentlemanly, apparently.
Even on April 1st, you couldn't do that?
You couldn't do it. Okay, let's see if you can get this last one. This one's from overseas. In France, it is against the law to do what with a pig? A, feed it red wine, because everybody knows pork goes better with white. B, teach it English. Or C, name it Napoleon.
Ooh.
Okay, I really think I have a very good feeling, finally, about this one. I know I've said that before.
All right.
But I really have a good feeling this time.
Go for it.
C, name it Napoleon.
And it is! Well
yes.
done! Here's an example. In the French translation of George Orwell's 1984, the pig named Napoleon, of course, is renamed Caesar for that book. Carl, how did Bill Maher do in our quiz?
Well, Bill needed at least two correct answers to win for Jim Anderson, but Bill had just one correct answer.
Aww.
Turns out, sorry I let you down, buddy.
Nah, turns out it's another Jim Anderson. He's not that great a guy. Don't worry about it. Bill Maher is the host of HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher. His new book is The New Rules. It's funny. Go get it. Bill Maher, thank you so much for being with us. Great to talk to you.
It's against the law to walk. It's against the law to talk. It's against the law to loaf. It's against the law to work. It's against the law to read.
In just a minute, Carl's got rhyme nuts roasting on an open fire. In the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, though, some more questions for you from the week's news. Paul, a biologist studying in Vietnam, announced this week they've discovered a new species of lizard. That's exciting. They found it where?
Probably, given what show we're on, in the pants of a smuggler at the airport.
No, that's a good guess, though. I'll give you a hint. They found it hiding under appetizer.
Ooh. On a menu?
Yes, they found it on a restaurant menu is where they found this undiscovered species.
To eat it?
Yeah, they found it in a restaurant. Huh. They were being served it, this undiscovered species. I mean, we have all ordered our entrees rare, but not this rare. A team of biologists went into a restaurant near the Mekong River Delta. They noticed an unusual lizard that was floating in a display tank in the restaurant that Asian restaurants have to display their foods. They determined it was a previously undiscovered race of female lizards with an odd ability to self-replicate. It's sort of an amphibious Kardashian. The lizard,
except for its relationships last longer.
Apparently. The lizard has been dubbed Leopolis govantri, and according to the research team, despite it being a remarkably unusual species, it still, in fact, tastes like chicken.
It's not technically on the menu, but I feel fairly certain that I've eaten something similar at the Chili's at LAX.
Really?
Similar.
This is unknown to science, whatever this is. You had a bad experience there.
I had a bad, they made me a very strong drink. You just shouldn't be there in the morning. Anyway.
What were you doing drinking at the Chili's at LAX in the morning?
I don't think that's anybody's business.
I hope to God you at least had a flight. Maz, there's a crisis in Europe. Norway is facing a critical shortage of what?
Wasn't cheese.
It wasn't cheese. You're close, though. It involves dairy.
Butter.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Thanks to... they had a bad summer for dairy farming, and an Atkins-like diet swept the country in Norway. It's called the Eat Nothing But Whole Sticks of Butter diet, and Norwegians have eaten up their entire national butter stockpile.
Oh, my heavens.
Some are selling the remaining hoarded butter at astronomical markups. One particularly troubling ad promised butter that was, quote, almost unused. You scrape it back off the, back off the English muffin. It's good to go.
That's rough when you're buying butter off of Craigslist.
Oh, man.
I love butter.
Really?
I love butter. When I was a kid... my parents, in fact, bought me a pound of butter. I believe it was for my 5th birthday.
Really?
And I did eat it like candy bars. Yes.
That's terrifying.
I love butter. And California went through this little phase where they had unsalted butter, which just was so annoying. Because there's just no point to that. So I would salt it.
Sure.
My gosh, the thought of a whole country without butter is just
you'd be out doing whatever you're doing, and it's time for a snack, so you'd reach in your pocket, pull out a big stick of butter, peel it like a candy bar, put some salt on it, and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I learned to make a butter sugar sandwich for myself very young.
Oh, sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Delicious.
I am a health food expert.
Yes. Now, you think, well, why don't we just sell them butter? It's a killing. Well, they have all these high import tariffs, so they can't afford our butter. It's a shame. We can help them. America has a year's supply of butter stockpiled inside every American.
Probably a couple of years in me. And, what about the butter sculptures? Couldn't they import a butter sculpture?
And then eat it.
Yeah.
And pull it out, and put it in this art.
That's a tragic waste of butter.
I think so.
You can't do a thing.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows. Here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, you can check out the latest How to Do Everything podcast from our producers this week. How to make a winter wonderland with only disposable diapers and a bowl of water. Hi, you're on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Pat Bilkey.
Where are you calling from, Pat?
I'm calling from Sheboygan Falls.
Sheboygan Falls, Wisconsin.
You know Sheboygan Falls?
When I was a kid, Sheboygan, Wisconsin was almost like a mythical place. What do you do there in Sheboygan Falls, I should say?
I have my own business.
Yeah.
It's called Possibilities.
Oh.
Where I offer possibilities of health and wealth to people.
Good for you.
Possibilities of health and wealth?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Just a possibility.
Yeah. Could happen. You never know.
It could happen. Yeah.
No guarantees.
No. Yeah. But you'd be a fool not to make the investment.
I know.
Exactly.
Pat, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a big winner. Ready to go?
Ready to go.
Here's your first limerick.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be seen drinking in here, and some pictures might hurt my career. So when cameras flash, my drink makes them crash. I am saved by my bottle of...
beer.
Right. Very good, Pat. Tired of waking up to find embarrassing drunk photos of yourself on Facebook? Time to stop drinking so much. Just kidding. No. Instead, you want to stop the photos with a Norte photo blocker. This is an electronic beer cozy. Looks like it's just keeping your beer cold, but what it really is it's deflecting photos. If you put it down on a nearby surface next to you, it will detect camera flashes and will fire flashes back, ruining the photos. This is true. Save you from that. Apparently, it does not serve as a he'll do for tonight blocker. Am I right, guys? You know what I mean about that? Very good. Here is your next limerick.
I'll watch toy-making elves a bit tighter. Plath and Kafka won't make Christmas brighter. I'll have to recall this strange line of dolls. What kid wants to play with a...
lighter.
No, not a lighter. That is true. You don't want a kid would not want to play with a lighter, or they might.
Well, they would.
But there's some clues inside the limerick as well as the rhymes. You got the rhyme right, but here, listen for the clues. Here we go again.
I'll watch toy-making elves a bit tighter. Plath and Kafka won't make Christmas brighter. I'll have to recall this strange line of dolls. What kid wants to play with a...
wow.
Plath and Kafka are examples.
Not getting that one.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
It's writer. Writer is the answer. Writer.
Oh,
so if you
God.
Want to get your child a doll this holiday season, but you'd prefer to avoid Barbies or Bratz's or Hasbro's new Tiny Trollop line, consider...
oh, my God.
Consider Etsy's unique doll designs. These are homemade dolls. You can buy your literary kid a little Joyce Carol Oates doll, a Judy Blume. She's adorable. You should steer clear of the Sylvia Plath doll, though. She's great at first. Just keep her away from the Easy Bake Oven. You don't want that.
Oh, boy.
Is it too soon?
She's not upset about is it too soon.
All right. Now, this is fun. You still have one more chance. If you get this one right, you'll still win.
Okay.
Here's your last limerick.
That low crack when I sing is my choice, but my ENT doesn't rejoice. I end phrases real low where my chords shouldn't go. I'm so cool that I'm hurting my...
voice.
Yes, voice. Very good. There is a hip new trend among teenage girls. It's speech impediments. Namely, vocal fry is what it is called. It was considered a speech disorder until Kesha and Britney Spears popularized it in their music. Basically what it is, it's a kind of a creaky vibration that happens when you try to go lower than your natural voice. It's sort of, you go like this and you get vocal fry. So you can get a sense of what they're actually talking about. I actually, in preparation, I secretly recorded my own teenage daughter just this morning. Here's an example of what vocal fry sounds like.
Got to love you.
We got it together, didn't we? We definitely got our family.
I absolutely didn't understand where my daughter got that funk band, but... they could keep a beat. It was all right.
I think your daughter's really good.
Yeah, I think she's great. I think she has a career.
Yeah.
Carl, how did Pat do in our quiz?
Pat, you did well enough. You had two correct answers, so you win our prize.
Well done.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Take care.
Take care.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Maz Jobrani has the lead, Peter. He has 3 points. Paula Poundstone and Jesse Klein are tied for second. They both have 2 points.
Okay. Well, we have flipped a coin to break the tie. Paula's elected to go second. Jesse, you're up first.
Ruh-roh.
Please fill in the blank. Okay. In a ceremony on Thursday, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta officially declared the end of the blank.
Iraq War.
Yes. Seven GOP presidential candidates met in Sioux City on Thursday for their last blank before the Iowa caucuses.
Debate.
Right. Newt Gingrich stirred up controversy last weekend when he called blanks an invented people.
Palestinians.
Right. For this year's Most Fascinating Person of the Year special, Barbara Walters picked Apple co-founder blank.
Oh, Steve Wozniak. Apple co-founder?
Yes. No, Steve Jobs. There were only two and you got the other one.
But he's dead. Doesn't she have to interview them?
Apparently not this time. Here we go.
I would never have gotten that.
For the second time in 3 weeks, a dog made news for blanking.
Dying?
Shooting his owner. According to a new study from the Pew Research Center, a record 49% of adults in the U.S. are blank.
Not married?
Right.
Oh.
A French film about the silent movie era received the most nominations for this year's Blank Awards.
Golden Globe.
Right. A man in Brookville, Pennsylvania was caught when he tried to get time off work by blanking.
Tweeting that he just had sex.
No. Can't come into work. No. By placing a fake obituary for his mother in the local newspaper. Having the newspaper obit on hand to back him up made Scott Bennett's dead mother's story sound more credible when he offered it to his boss, until his mom ruined everything by being still alive.
I'm not meeting that guy at Chili's.
No. He now has all the time off he wants since he was fired and will be spending it in his room without his supper.
I'm very embarrassed about the Steve Jobs question.
I think that would nobody would have remembered if you gotten that right, but now it will be an immortal moment. Carl, how did Jesse do in our quiz?
Jesse had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. She now has 12 points, and Jesse Klein has taken the lead.
Well done. All right. So, Paula, you're up next.
Let me just say Steve Jobs.
Good job. Fill in the blank. On Tuesday, the Iranian government refused an official U.S. request to return to the blank that Iran captured last week.
The drone that was spying on them.
That's right. Yeah. Steve Jobs, Rebecca Black, and the iPhone 5 were among the top searches on blank this year.
Google?
Right. The company Zynga, known for its Facebook game Blank, harvested $1 billion when it went public this week.
The farm thing.
The farm thing?
Yeah.
Farmville. All right,
not
I'll give
so
it to
much.
Farmville.
Was it Farmville?
It was Farmville. This week, the Latvian airline Air Baltic announced plans to branch out and blank during flights.
To branch out and fly during flights.
No, to sell cars to passengers.
Oh, yes.
On Monday, former first daughter Blank made her first appearance as a special correspondent on NBC.
Chelsea Quinn.
Right. On Thursday, a French court found former President Blank guilty of embezzlement.
Sarkozy.
No, Jacques Chirac. He's the current president, Sarkozy. Hailed as the new must-have automotive accessory, you can now purchase a blank for your car.
A must-have automotive accessory. A invisible shield.
No, a thong.
Thong,
a car thong.
Yeah.
If you're one of those people who like to deck your car out in a car bra back in the 80s, at long last, you can complete your car's ensemble of lingerie. Car thongs are exactly what they sound like, gigantic pink frilly underpants with a thong back that you can put in the back of your car.
Nice.
Be careful, though. There's nothing worse than getting halfway across town and realizing you've got a trunk wedgie. Yeah. Carl, how did Paula do in our quiz?
Pretty good.
Paula had 4 correct answers for 8 more points. She now has 10 points, but Jesse Klein remains the leader with 12 points.
Steve Jobs. Yeah.
So,
gotta love Steve Jobs.
All right, so how many then does Maz need to win?
5 correct answers.
All right, here we go, Maz. This is for the game. You can do it. President Obama warned Congress on Thursday not to leave town without extending blank tax cuts.
The payroll tax.
Right, after a negative campaign by a Florida evangelical group. Lowe's and Kayak.com dropped out as advertisers on a reality show about blank.
All American Muslims.
Right. After spending 20 years in French and American jails, this week former military dictator blank was extradited back to Panama.
Boyega.
Right. And one of their biggest changes yet, on Thursday, the timeline feature was rolled out in the social networking site blank.
Facebook?
Right. A Spanish newspaper will begin producing a version of the Huffington Post called blank.
El Posto de Huffington.
So close. I almost want to give it to you. It will actually be called El Huffington Post. Still angry with Alec Baldwin, the Association of Professional Flight Attendants has requested his show Blank be removed from American Airlines flights.
30 rock.
Right. In a 2-day record-breaking auction at Christie's, the jewelry belonging to actress Blank brought in more than $137 million.
Liz Taylor.
Right. TV crews filming a recent Law & Order SVU episode based on the Occupy Wall Street protesters were interrupted by Blank.
The Occupy Wall Street protesters.
Yes.
Yeah, baby.
So the producers of the show built an Occupy New York set to do an Occupy New York themed episode, and the Occupy New York protesters came and occupied the Occupy New York set. They said it was disrespectful of their movement. Other protesters simply were demanding more screen time for Richard Belzer. Carl, did Maz do well enough to win?
He needed 5 correct answers. Maz had 7 correct answers. So 17 points. Maz Kobrani is this week's champion.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Nice work.
I'm excited.
You should be. Just a minute. Since the 2011 Person of the Year for Time Magazine was the protester, we'll ask our panelists to predict who will be Time's Person of the Year in 2012. But first, let me remind you of our TV debut on BBC America, airing December 23rd at 8 o'clock, 7 Central. It's a very special episode of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, in which we review the ups and downs of 2011. All right, really just an excuse to talk about Anthony Weiner one more time. Join us December 23rd, 8 p.m., 7 Central, on BBC America. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and eSurance, an Allstate company, offering mobile apps and 24/7 help online or over the phone. Learn more at eSurance.com. Lumber Liquidators, supporting the Ronald McDonald House Charities, the National Braille Press, and NPR. Information at lumberliquidators.com. And Pimsleur Language Programs, providing tools to learn a listener limerick challenge in 45 languages. Online at Pimsleur.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Dark Lord. BJ Liederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical directors from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. Our senior producer is Ian Chillag. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, who will be Time's Person of the Year in 2012? Paula Poundstone.
I think it's going to be Pat from Sheboygan, because if all goes right, she's going to give us health and wealth.
Jesse Klein.
I think, work with me on this one, I think the Person of the Year is going to be badass actress Meryl Streep, because 2012 is the year the world is supposed to end. And I have a theory that even if Meryl herself does not know how to save us, she will find a way to play someone who does. And we'll win an Oscar for it.
And Maz Kobrani.
This year was the protester. Next year is going to be the banker, because he will just buy Time Magazine and name himself the Person of the Year.
That's how it's done.
Well, if any of those people are named Person of the Year panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell
Me. Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Paula Poundstone, Jesse Klein, Maz Kobrani. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.